This is a public service announcement. Otaku Generation, stop talking about Duck Hole. All
right.
What about the Akira song? How does that start up?
Waka 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 waka. And that's what you get for listening to our show, folks.
That's awesome. It's like the acapella. I can't really think. We're gonna review Steam the movie since we forgot to do so. And
wait a minute.
What?
I thought this was gonna be a whole podcast where we were gonna do the introduction and then everything.
Okay, do the introduction.
Hello and welcome to Ninja Consultant Podcast number. What number are we on?
It depends which show we post first. I don't know, 9.
Basically,
or 10?
I just want to apologize to if you are in the part of half of America that we have interviewed, and we have not yet aired the interview. It's because Aaron has been very carefully going through all interview footage, and I don't know what she's been doing, frankly.
Oh, it's called editing. But there's a lot of it that I haven't actually even listened to yet. So actually, my friend Urelis, who was a guest at OnaFest last weekend, has kindly, very kindly, volunteered to do some of the editing for us. I think it's also in association with her new project, which is the Each a Paradise fan blog, where it's essentially Kakashi's blog, and he's blogging about current episodes on Cartoon Network from Kakashi's point of view. It's from the robot's point of view.
Yes, it's from Kakashi's point of view.
Yeah.
And then everyone is writing in comments like, I know it's only a D-rank mission, but will you help me with my Japanese?
Yeah, also people are like, this is the real Kakashi, OMFG, will you marry me? It's really funny. It's pretty worth reading. It's worth reading the comments on Blogger. But also, I talked to him a bit at OnaFest, which is still footage I haven't worked on at all. But yeah, we want to keep this under 20 minutes.
That's true, we do.
Oh, okay, so that guy from Hawaii, he complained that the David Ng interview was boring. Thanks, Hawaii guy. No, actually...
Yeah, thanks, David Ng, for being so boring.
No, I think the Comic Cat stuff is all really
harsh.
Interesting. What?
Now David Ng is going to listen to this, and he's going to feel bad.
Well, he's going to be angry at people in Hawaii.
No, he's going to be angry at us for broadcasting this on the air.
Well, look, anyone can just...
And he'd be right.
Anyone can just read those comments on LiveJournal. It's on the internet.
Yeah, but now everyone's going to go and look at that particular comment. And
yes.
And the comments will crash.
And then flame him. Actually, no, we might talk to that guy on Skype later, because it turns out he was in the JET program, like everyone I know, and also...
Which is what?
Well, he studies Japanese literature.
Well, I know that, but maybe not everybody knows what the JET program is.
Oh, what does it stand for? Japanese, English, something? Look, I don't know what it stands for. It's where you go to Japan and you teach English, and it's a massive program, apparently, since I know dozens of people who've done it. And you live there for 2 years, and they pay you pretty well.
And then you return with a Japanese wife.
Yeah, or a Japanese boyfriend. But in recent...
Wife or boyfriend.
Yeah, but... Because I have lots to do that. But recently it's harder and harder to get in because more Americans are interested in Japan. So now they get like thousands of applicants and your chances. It used to be they would take just like anyone, even if you didn't take any Japanese in college. But now it's much harder to get in.
Even if you were a 10-foot albino with one arm, it would still take you.
I know I am. Actually, I've posted pictures, but no, I don't have one arm. Also, the manga reviews I posted recently that I cross-posted on the manga cast, they turned out kind of boring. I know you haven't listened to them at all, but it's because I just read them straight off the page. And also, oh, just like now, the microphone was way too close to my computer. You could probably hear the fan going. And if you're like this one listener, you think it's your fan on your computer going horribly, horribly wrong. And then you're like, oh, wait, it's not me.
No, it's the idiot podcasters who don't know how to use their equipment.
And who boosted the sound a lot, and suddenly it sounds weird and warped.
And now, magnified 40,000 times, the sound of a tsetse fly picking its nose! Isn't nature wonderful?
Is that a Monty Python thing?
Yeah, it's an old routine.
We still haven't seen spam a lot.
I don't intend to see spam.
I heard it was really good.
I believe that it might be really good if you aren't a diehard fan.
Maybe we could have afforded it if it weren't for Maggie's wedding. Thanks for nothing,
Thank
Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie.
Getting married. I hope you enjoy your Spamalot tickets.
For sucking my cash.
There goes all my money.
Out of my wallet before I even put it there.
We can barely afford to go to Korea next week thanks to your expensive bachelorette party. Enjoy seeing Spamalot.
I didn't get to go to the bachelorette party.
It cost a fucking fortune.
I still had to pay for it, however. Somehow.
With your mind.
Yes, with my mind.
Your soul. Where are we going with this? All right.
I know where I'm going with this. I want to say something about Skype.
Do it.
Skype sounds like it's really pejorative. Like, hey, Skype you.
Skype off.
Go Skype yourself.
Skype this.
That's all.
You Skype hole. Okay, also, I'm going to complain about Otaku Generation. Because I realized, I re-listened to part of their Matt Pison show so I could steal a clip. But the point of it is, Matt Pison is the one who actually said, blow it out your duck hole, or something like that.
Oh, duck holes again.
Which, now they have spent 3 shows riffing on that one joke. That's like 4.5 hours worth of jokes about duck holes.
This is a public service announcement. Otaku Generation... Stop talking about duck holes.
Seriously, you're ruining my life. And also your own. And Korean's daughter's life. Who will someday go back and listen to the backlog of programs and be horribly embarrassed. Although they actually had her saying some stuff at one point. Anyway, no. Also, most importantly, I was getting the clip where they said they wanted to come to New York. And that was like 2 shows ago. And they haven't said anything about it since, even though I wrote to them about it. So, and then they got more invitations from other people who called their voicemail and were like, you can come and visit me and come to my ridiculous party. I don't know. What have I got over these other people that...
I don't know. A podcast of your own.
That I've actually met them. Some of those people do have I don't know.
So, Otaku Generation, we're calling you out.
I was on another podcast last week.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I was hanging out with Scott Melzer at the con because he had his new fan parody, Steam the Movie, which is not about Steam Boy.
Yay.
Too bad Kyle's not here.
Yeah. But so we're hanging around on Sunday afternoon. He showed Steam on Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon we were showing This Is Otakudom because, you know, it's a couple of years old, but people still keep showing up to see it, which is just really, really wonderful. And Scott was hanging around after the showing, and he was giving away VCDs to people. And this girl in Nausicaa costume comes up to him, and you know he's flinging VCDs around in the dark. He can barely see what's going on because people are actually asking to sign them this time. And she talks at him for a little while, something podcast ninjas something, and gives him a card. And he's like, huh, what the who ninja something? And
don't tell me you got an interview with Iron Dragon.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he Aaron, did. That's our nickname for her.
Aaron from Ninja Consultants.
Ah, yeah, Ninja Consultants.
Yeah.
Yep.
We refer to her as Iron Dragon.
Yeah. Oh, yes, there's words I recognize.
Yes. Ninja Consultant Industries. So on Saturday, we went up to NYC with Scott and a couple of his friends to do their podcast. So that was pretty cool. You know, Ninja Consultants were very nice people. Showed us a little bit around NYC before the podcast.
Cool.
Got to... stop by Book Off and replenish my Ranma 1/2 manga collection.
I'm sorry, we can no longer talk to you because we don't associate with anybody from other podcasts.
They invite us up. You guys want to go on a field trip?
Oh, yeah.
We'll take the show on the road.
You let us out of the basement?
we'll take the train up. Well, first we got to get the invite.
Spend the whole time pimping Ninja Consultants, but
we would like to see New York City. guys?
Yes.
Please?
That's not what I have against Otaku Generation.
Are you coming to New York or not?
What I have against Otaku Generation is they live in King of Prussia.
What's wrong with that?
It's ridiculously named. King of Prussia.
I don't think they can really help that.
Good point.
Move to a town.
You know who the King of Prussia was?
Sense.
Kaiser Wilhelm II. He was awesome.
I did not know that.
Well, it's true.
Okay.
He fired his chancellor, Bismarck.
When was this?
1870 something?
I think. Have no knowledge of history whatsoever. I can barely
read a book.
I can barely remember what happened last week. That's true.
What happened last week?
I went to Onafest.
That's right.
It was a lot of fun. Oh, and Onafest has a podcast of their own, it turns out. And I met another podcaster there. It was the What's New in Anime Fan Subs podcaster, who put out like several really good shows 6 months ago and then stopped completely. He had like a really great anime podcast. And then,
unlike some Otaku Generation podcasts we could mention.
Ours isn't that great.
Or ours.
Well, I realized too, when the Onafest woman was interviewing me, she was like, so what is it that's different about your podcast that's like specific to your podcast? And I'm like, I don't know. Every show is something else. Because also I realized about our first of all, the What's New in Anime Fan Subs guy said, it's really hard to produce an episode, and he was putting a lot of work into, like, his 5-minute show, or it wasn't, okay, not 5 minutes, 15-minute show, where he'd put, like, the theme songs from the anime he was watching in the show and all this stuff. He was like, it was hours and hours of work, and that's why he hasn't done it lately. I don't know if he'll ever come back, because it was too much work for him. It's a lot of work for me, too.
And he's a broken man now.
Maybe, or he recovered just in time.
I want to make a point about Onafest.
Okay.
Which is that it is not Onanfest, which I was like, yeah, I go there all the time.
Or Oni.
Onifest. No, that's another.
Demon Fest. Demon City Shinjuku. I realized something really important after we recorded all of those things where we were bitching about AMVs in the car. And that was, there are some really great beginner's guides to AMVs on the org. That weren't there last time I looked, like, a year ago.
The org being AMV.org.
That's what everyone calls it, the org. But there are really great guides.
By which I mean AnimeMusicVideos.org spelled out, not AMV.org. That'll probably take you to a...
You never know.
Porn hell.
No.
Like, oh,
okay.
AMV Hell 0.
Oh, yeah, okay, look, AMV Hell 3 is really good. Don't watch AMV Hell 1 or 2. They're really not worth it, although AMV Hell 1 is okay. AMV Hell 2 sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
AMV Hell 3, super funny.
Really great.
AMV Hell 0, you can listen all about it on the Amazing Bacchus podcast, because we want to keep our podcast clean, and it's an extremely explicit thing.
In fact, I regret bringing it up, and yet I feel it is my duty to inform as many people as possible when they warn you at the beginning, it's really true. It's not a joke. This is not something you want to see. This is not something that...
If you have any shred of innocence left in you whatsoever, AMV Hell Zero will take it from you. Don't watch it.
You will lose 1d3 plus 1 sanity points.
We did lose sanity points. I mean, you know, I'm not easily offended. I've seen a lot of explicit things, but man, that was really sick.
It made me never want to have sex again.
Yeah, that's a serious warning. Yeah, don't watch AMV Hell Zero. Okay, Amazing Baka had some segments in it. I don't know, I think we said a lot of very silly things in our AMV shows that we're not experts. There are other people who are actually active members of the AMV community who are much bigger authorities than us on the matter.
Yeah, but they don't have a podcast.
They were all interviewed on Otaku Generation's podcast. And all of them, like, in August. Not all of them. All right, okay, if Doki Doki Productions guy is listening, and I doubt he is, he turned down Alan and wasn't interviewed because he's, like, really shy. But I really wish we could have him on our show. He's, like, one of my top three favorite AMV creators.
Yeah, I would second that.
Yeah. We like Vlad the best. I wonder if Vlad would talk to us.
Vlad. We'd have to go to Canada.
No, he'd just call us on Skype.
Yes, because Skype worked so well for us.
Well, we have to set things up a bit differently. Look, but also you can do a thing where people can call a normal number and you can talk through Skype.
Call you on the phone.
No. They're calling from a phone and you're receiving them in Skype.
That is the future.
I'm
not ready for that.
It's been that way for a while. Maybe we should set up like a Skype line so listeners can leave voicemail. So then I can be, like, really sad every week when nobody leaves this voicemail.
1, 2, 3, not it. I'm not doing that part.
It only costs $6 a month.
Well, maybe I'll pay for it. And then you can set it up at your convenience.
And then I can cry every week when we don't get messages.
I'll call you.
Nice. You can't leave voicemail.
You're right. I won't know. I won't know how to make it work.
No, you just call a number. Like how we call our taco generation.
Homer, you've already dialed.
Beep, beep, beep.
Don't overestimate my ability to use technology.
It's too late.
As you may have already done.
Are we going to review Steam or what?
Yes, we should definitely review Steam.
Can we do it in 8 minutes or less?
I think so.
Okay. Go.
Steam, what is Steam? Steam is a fan parody, and we recently interviewed some of the people behind it, chief among them Scott Melzer, who was kind enough to come all the way out from his neck of the woods via a roundabout and hazardous journey from New Jersey.
Which was worse on the way back.
That's
always the case.
We apologize for that.
I've been there too. Oh man, coming back from Onifest, I almost died. Anyway, that's another story.
But Melzer...
He did This Is Otakadem, Steam, and he's done a lot of AMVs. Now we have about 6.5 minutes.
Steam. Oh, crap! That's not enough time.
I see. It was really good. We saw an early cut of it at the previous Otakon, at Otakon 2004. Oh, man, it needed work. Like, it had no ending. It was really slow. A lot of the jokes were kind of repetitive. But the cut that was shown at Otakon 2004 was 100% better. A lot of the slow bits had all been cut out. The pace was cranked up. The ending was intact. It was like one joke after another, bam, 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 to the point till finally, like about an hour into it, it's like, this is too much. It is too long. It's too long, but it's clear. It's very tightly done. So although it's like when I saw South Park the movie in the theaters, although it's a really good movie, after about an hour of seeing South Park on the big screen, I felt kind of ill. Like, sick to my stomach. Like, you've eaten too much cake. I'm sure we've all been there.
Or, too much cake with...
Well, too much cake is better than too
thorns
many...
Thorns in it.
Too many... You know what? It's better than too many Cheetos. I would say too many Cheetos if I met... I felt really nauseous.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No, it's just like if you've eaten too much cake. So I don't know what I would cut out of it. One of my favorite jokes... I think the joke that I complimented so highly on a previous show of ours was not actually from Melzer at all. It was from Studio Sodaki or Subarunker or something. Because it was one of the commercials that had been submitted by a third party. But I'm thinking about it in the past few weeks. I think my favorite joke that's included in Steam is the part where, what is it, Akane from Ranma?
Yes.
Is carrying around Peach-On?
Yes.
Yeah, in pig form. And then there's a reference to Babe, where Peach-On blows some stuff up, and Akane is like, that'll do, pig. That'll do. Which is so great. I've never even actually seen the movie Babe, but that's an awesome joke.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about what Melzer does in particular, as opposed to other fan parodies that we may have discussed before,
Maybe not, who knows?
Maybe we haven't.
I don't know. You're listening to this show.
Yeah, I'm not a regular listener or anything. I just work here. Typically with things like Evangelion Redeath, I don't know, what are some of the other ones? Lord of the Jewel, even... Going back to Voltron, Hellbent for Leather.
You saw Dirty Pair Does Dishes.
And I saw Dirty Pair Does Dishes. The chances are that most, if not all of our listeners, except for...
Hawaii guy.
Oh yeah, the Hawaii guy.
He was at Akon 7 during the blackout, which is the real reason I want to talk to him. So we can finally tell the Akon 7 blackout story.
What most fan parodies do is take the established characters and... maybe even an established plot, and then put new dialogue in their mouths and create new situations. However, the identities of the characters are somewhat intact. In Evangelion Redeath, all of the characters are who they appear to be. However, in Steam, and in This Is Otakudom, I think to a lesser extent...
Well, in Fanboy Bebop, they changed it a bit. Like, Ed became Spike's little sister. Did you even see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, okay. That was another one. But they were still... most of them have the same names? And
Sometimes they change the names a little bit. But yeah, the personalities are kind of...
It's true. I only saw it once, but yeah. I seem to recall that Slough...
Where are you going with this? Look at that space. Talk
oh, faster. Man, that sucks. Oh, 2.5 minutes. Okay.
Noah pauses for a 25-second gap.
Well, that's why I'm not...
Between syllables.
That's not true.
Screw you.
See, and then Aaron goes and takes all of the pauses out.
Because I was
And
saying...
so some of the jokes that you hear that are not funny that I say are actually funny because the timing is off. Aaron edited out the timing.
You can
know what the secret of comedy... Ask me what the secret of comedy is.
Brevity is wit.
Brevity is the soul of wit. But what's the secret of comedy?
Timing.
Timing! You see, that's hilarious.
No, that's called maxing out levels.
Yeah. My point is this. What Melzer does is he takes found footage and he completely recontextualizes it. He writes out an entirely new and different script. And in some ways, this works really well, because if you have a situation that can be made more comedic just on the face of it by introducing completely new plots and new characters as though you're rebooting the world and just taking the video and pouring in new characters and whatnot, that is very fertile, I guess. However, you're also then forced to put behind you everything that you know about these characters. You have... Aaron's falling asleep. Aaron is falling asleep. All right. I have to make a complaint. Normally, we don't reference the outside world at all on this show, but I only have 30 seconds left, and I'm going to use them.
Well, I think you can talk this about morning, since you paused so much.
This morning, I was taking a look at how the vote in Iraq turned out, because I'm paying attention to this.
That was awesome.
I was reading the thing, and then I was explaining it to Aaron, and she looks at the page, and she says, "Ooh, a cat with two tongues." And you know what?
CNN had an awesome video of a cat with two tongues. But that required my immediate attention.
And it was awesome.
it was really very weird.
However, it's also representative of everything that is wrong with youth in America today.
And the world.
And the internet. And the internet. 5 seconds to go. All right.
Less than that.
So,
time. No, you can keep talking.
Oh, thank God. Steam. Right. So the
steam can save the steam world. Water the world. Plus heat equals steam, and steam can save the world.
That's the byline.
I know. It's from Ninja High School originally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By Ben Dunn at Antarctic Press.
Oh yeah, you can kind of get it in smaller manga form. I totally failed to buy it when I saw a copy at Onifest.
Yeah, it's when I was reading it 10 years ago or so. It's pretty good.
He's still doing it. He did a talk in New York.
I know he's still doing it. Antarctic Press is still doing well. My point was that I think that what Melzer does is less accessible to the average fan, because you have to put behind you a lot of the things that make you an anime fan. That is, you're going to recognize a lot of the footage, and that brings with it a lot of, I wouldn't say baggage, but you know that there is a plot. And the plot that you know is not the plot that is being projected in the fan parody.
I think it comes off to a funny effect, though, because a lot of people have seen, like, the first four episodes of Ranma, where they get a lot of footage from, and so when you watch it again, it's like, oh, they've taken that doll scene, and now it's completely recontextualized. So I think if you've seen that already, it's funny on another level that this is what it's being used for. The characters were talking about something else before, but now they're talking about this.
Yeah.
I see. Like,
okay. That's true, too.
Well, there's the other fan parody. Okay, like, Nescaflone cuts together the Escaflone TV series and the movie, and they have kind of a different plot, but the plot still hinges on your knowledge, a bit on your knowledge of the Escaflone TV series and or movie. So when the characters joke about, here's a giant plot hole, and you know that that plot hole is also existent in the original series, not just in the fan parody, then it's that much funnier. Like, Allison hasn't seen any of the Escaflone stuff, but she still thought Nescaflone was really funny, because it threw in stuff like, all of a sudden they cut to a character who's wearing a ridiculous wig in one scene for no reason, and then they cross-cut to David Bowie in Labyrinth, and they start playing the song Dance Magic Dance, and they just cut a few times, you get the point, and then they move on with the regular plot of of the movie. And that's funny to anyone who's seen Labyrinth, and even if you haven't, it's still pretty funny. If you'd seen neither thing, you're like, wow, that looks like David Bowie. That does look like David. He does look like David Bowie in a ridiculous wig. Whoa, or whatever.
Frankly, it's funny to every man, woman, and child alive.
Right.
If you've ever seen, for instance, Woody Allen did two movies, I think. What's up, Tiger Lily, and What's New Pussycat, where he just redubbed a movie with his own track.
What's New Pussycat is really with a song title like that? I don't know. There might be a sequel.
Look, I might be lying. you never know.
We might look this up and put it in the notes later on IMDb.
I don't so much lie as I don't remember things that are true.
I had to cut out like 10 minutes of your diatribe in the Otakon show because you were just wrong.
Yeah. You listen to this podcast at your own risk, but it's not intentional, I promise you. I'm not maliciously misrepresenting anyone or anything. I just happen to have a very poor memory for whatever reason. However, I can remember that recontextualizing footage has a very rich history, going all the way back to the 60s in France, when Bruce Conner, who was an avant-garde filmmaker at the time, took a bunch of footage from all manner of different sources, Hollywood films, military news reels, and cut it together in new and interesting ways. I know that one of the things that came out of his effort was something called a movie, which if you're a film theory geek, you probably already know about it. You are and you don't. Check it out, because Bruce Conner is one of the few interesting things to come out of a lot of the avant-garde film in France at that time. But we're an anime podcast, folks. Aaron's
That's
asleep.
That was my computer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got you confused.
God.
You do look a lot alike.
Shut up. I don't look like a 12-inch PowerBook. I think a lot more jeans would fit if that were the case.
She's got an IQ of 1001. She's got a jumpsuit on. And she's also a telephone.
We should play a song. Song about, at least the part about she's an IBM. I'd like to see. I'd really like to see an AMV set to that with a bunch of like, you know, show bits and
yeah. So all of you AMV creators that are listening to this show,
I know it's just Ninja Cracker and that's it.
All right, Ninja Cracker.
We got a new video for you.
I think Ninja Cracker might actually be able to do a really good job with this. I think that this would be right up his alley.
He seems to watch Magical Girl anime and not. Robot Girl anime.
Let me tell you, there's not much of a difference, except instead of magic, it's robot.
I think you watch Corrector Yui. That might be both.
I don't know anything about that title.
I only saw a few minutes of it at Otakon 4 years ago. It's not good.